Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Provincial State of Mind, Rugby World Cup edition with myself, Owen Harrison, Jeff Neville and Tom Savage. Normally it's focused on all four Irish provincial sides in the URC and European competitions, but that hasn't started yet, so we're stuck with the Rugby World Cup. Tom, what's your week been like?
Very good, by the way. You wrote a song. I hope you had a good podcast last week. I didn't listen, but I hope it was good. I hope you enjoyed yourselves.
Did your song go well? How did your songwriting go?
It did. I kind of did have a good look at getting a new song for Irish rugby, because it turns out that the Z word is a little bit controversial and it's causing a bit of hassle. So I had a look at a few different songs that we might try, just to try and get over with the crowd. Because again, look, if Ireland win at the weekend, people will sing pretty much whatever comes on over the speaker at the end, right? So I figure if we can just get the word in, we can play a different song there. And I was looking at rewriting the words of, like, "I Want It That Way" by Backstreet Boys. I think everybody loves this song. There's no real negative political connotations there, as far as I'm aware. Unless I Want It That Way is like the six counties back in the Irish Republic, maybe. I don't know.
I heard that's what Backstreet Boys meant.
I think it could be, but yeah. Again, I think it's a fairly niche one. So I was trying to rewrite the lyrics of it, and it turns out rugby is a very difficult song or game to write a song about. I can sympathize with Phil Coulter. I think he had a tough time with Ireland's call, and I can see why. So I was like looking at "I Wanted That Way." It's like, "You are my team, the one I always dream of victories. And tries we celebrate the World Cup's goal, for which we always wait." Now it's a bit wordy there.
No, I like the extra syllables.
"Rugby union play," and then you would go, "Ain't nothing but a try."
So where you shouldn't add more syllables, you do, and where you should have more syllables, you take
rugby
them away.
Union takes up a lot of it. So rugby union takes up a lot of the things we have.
Are you going to have to amend the musical melody that goes with that to fit in those extra syllables?
We're going to have to cram a lot in, is what I'm saying. And then, like,
you'll have to play certain parts of the song at, what you call it, like 1.5 or 2 speed, and then slow down.
Yeah, we're going to really have to cram it in there. And, like, we're going to probably need words up on the screen here as well. And then, like, "On the field today," and then you go, "Ain't nothing but a game." Right? Because, again, it's rugby values.
Just a game.
Yeah. "Whether we win or lose, I never want to say I love it that way." Rugby.
I think you've hit on your hands.
And again, look, I understand that the words are a bit dense there, but I don't think anybody could be offended by that.
I also wrote a song.
Very good.
And I only got as far as the chorus, right? And the chorus is only 2 words, and it goes, "Ireland, Ireland, rugby, rugby, rugby."
Very, very good.
I think it might work.
It is simple. And I think people can kind of get behind that as well.
Yeah,
I know the air of the song. I can't.
Yeah,
place
I don't know. I don't know where the. I don't know where the.
I think
tune,
there
just
could
came
be a copyright issue there on the melody.
Just came to me one day. Just came to me. I was cooking dinner, and it just.
Is it Ed Sheeran?
Could be.
All these songs.
He's written a lot of stuff, hasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
He's been in court now for a couple of things on copyright. So
maybe he stole that off you, Jeff.
Maybe he did. Sneaky, sneaky man. But I think it could work.
See if you can borrow his the loop pedal thing that he has to get that working for you.
And his guitar would be handy, because I have very small arms. He has a very small guitar. So.
That I did not know. I'm learning stuff now in this podcast. This is brilliant.
There you go. I don't know if he always has a small guitar. I saw him once with a small guitar. I just assumed.
How small is it?
Unless he's massive. That's the other side of the coin. Isn't he? I don't know.
He could be RG Snyman massive, and it's just a normal guitar.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't know. So
I figure if you ever see Ed Sheeran walking around, he can pull a guitar out of the back of his, like it's a ninja pulling a sword out or something.
Is he that
has that in his back under his jacket, and it's like a little guitar.
Yeah. But all I know is I'm going to sue him first for stealing my song. And then
before he sues you, get in there. Just get in there early.
One of us is suing the other. I know that much. And
thanks and it's one thing we have a lot of experience in.
<That's>, yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. If there's one thing I know how to do, it's get sued. So
Now, Sharon,
take it, back in the queue.
We have many litigations to get through. You're one of many.
The judge sees us walk in. It's like, do you have a loyalty card to be here?
Yeah, stamp that like, for me.
He's like, yeah, we actually do.
Right, will we go get sued again tonight?
We will. Yeah. I think before we start, though, we have to acknowledge the good people at Little Ireland this week.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. Wasn't it? Top drawer.
For fantastic. Those of you who haven't been following us on social media, the first question is why not?
Dirtbags.
Yeah. Get on to it. But the good people at Little Ireland sent myself, Jeff, and Tom a goodie box. I was very excited when on Tuesday a box of donuts and pastries and scones showed up at my front door, delivered by the nice people at Little Ireland, I must say. Now, to be fair, most of it got robbed and eaten by my wife and my daughter, but I did manage to get out the cookies and a donut.
I had a good rattle at the cookies as well, to be fair. And I was half fuming because I only managed to get rid of all those jellies I was speaking about on the show a couple of weeks ago. I only managed to just literally get rid of them. We've been throwing them into people as they've been visiting. I've been slipping them into their pockets. Like they go home with jellies because I'm sick of looking at them. And then really lovely little baked stuff turns up and I'm just like, well, I guess I have to eat all this now. And so I did.
There was a good hour period where I couldn't talk because I was just chewing cookies. Full on. And don't ask me anything. I will not be talking for the next while. They were delicious. So thank you, Lidl.
I said to my fiance, we're getting a delivery from Lidl. She's like, did you order something from Lidl? Do they deliver? And I was just like, I don't know if they deliver, but I didn't order anything. I got this through the podcast. And she said, you didn't your fuck.
Because we get nothing. We just get food.
They're supposed to be coming today. Next thing anyway, an hour or two later, doorbell rings. I'm coming back in. Smug as fuck with my little box of little stuff. And she was just like, well, fucking hell. And we're going
she
to go
just
back
thought
to
it was one of your friends who just got out the lid and put you all in the place.
No, because there was a gift card there.
You got the gift card?
We didn't get a gift card.
We didn't get gift cards.
Get gift cards. You were chosen out as the special one.
I am the special one.
I wouldn't mind. You did no legwork in this whole thing.
Absolutely nothing. It all happened. And I was just like,
he gets all the
nice
benefits.
One, lads. Thanks.
This is how life works for me and you, Jeff.
This is rubbish. Like I now know how props feel when, let's say, Johnny Wilkinson slotted that World Cup winning drop goal and gets all the plaudits. And there's the props who've been absolutely ruining themselves for 80 minutes to set this up. And they're just like, yeah, well done, Johnny.
And I'm coming back into the dressing room with a bit of mud in my face, kind of going, there's a wall out there, lads.
No, that's not even a good analogy. You didn't even drop a goal. You didn't do anything. You dropped the ball, if anything.
You were the winger in that situation.
You were the winger, just hanging out, just watching.
Just watching. The winger who goes to celebrate with Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah. Can I have a medal too, guys?
I was on the field. I got my medal. It's all good. Or I got man of the match by a very heavily biased commentator.
Because of the week you had, not because of the game you just played.
Oh, what was the name of that Claremont guy that Reggie Corrigan gave it to?
Oh, that's going to bug
Joubert.
Me now.
Joubert.
Joubert.
Yeah,
you pulled the Joubert
for Claremont. You get Munster beat them, what was it, 45-3 or something on the day. And Reggie Corrigan gives them the Man of the Match award.
But the thing is, though, I am special. I am blessed.
Let's move on.
I deserve it. You should have sent me your cookies.
Maybe myself and Owen should have colluded and fixed it so that we got we split the voucher and you got none.
Well, you think that's a possibility?
Well, I think, apparently that happens in the real world where entire organizations collude to exclude a third in extremely illegal ways. So
it's among the many billion of things that could happen during the game. So I think it's legit to ask the question. I mean, an asteroid could also hit the pitch while the game is on. Maybe we should call an astrologer.
What if a horse drove the team bus to the stadium? Nobody asked that question.
What if Ireland snuck a horse onto the pitch?
5 minutes late.
We won't mention Busgate, will we?
Oh God, we have fun. We have fun on this podcast.
We have fun.
We have fun. Not sponsored by Lidl, but assisted by Lidl.
Assisted. Lidl.
And
Lidl,
to be honest with you, I am open to being paid in pastries and donuts. I'm not going to lie. I'm very open to that possibility.
Well, I'm trying to lose weight.
Yeah, I'm doing the opposite of my goal here. As I put each and every cookie into my mouth, thinking, you're not meant to be doing this.
It's like, no, you're cutting yourself. You're cutting yourself with these.
I'll start tomorrow. I'll get rid
We're
of these.
We're
going
to have a rattle off it on Monday.
I'll get rid of these now so they're not here to eat tomorrow.
You give me the energy for my Bronco.
Yeah.
I was looking in on the World Rugby World Cup website today. And did you know that Ireland have a game left in this tournament?
There is one pool game left.
Yeah.
To be honest, the way World Rugby have been going around shutting down every clip and bit around the competition, I'm surprised you can even get onto that site.
Yeah, I'm surprised they have the fixture list published even, to be honest.
Yeah. But the thing is, look, I do understand World Rugby's position on this. I once saw an 8-second clip of Wayne Barnes shaking hands with a player on his Twitter feed, and I figured that's all the rugby I ever want to watch ever again. So I've got rid of my TV, everything. I think rugby's finished, so I can understand why they might have stopped other people from doing that.
What I found is it's filtered into my life now, because like I was in work there yesterday and someone asked me about rugby, and I was like, how do you know about rugby? You're not meant to know about rugby. We can't grow the game.
No, he's, oh, you found out about rugby? Who told you?
I was like, who's your,
who told
who's
you about rugby?
Who's your content dealer? How are you seeing this?
Did you see a clip of Uruguay scoring a try in the back of somebody's car?
The first rule of World Rugby is you don't talk about World Rugby.
Was a Rugby World Cup on? Oh, is there?
Hide it.
Is there?
Hide it.
Who told you that?
Just a whole load of fat guys wandering around with bruises, just winking at each other, going, "Yeah."
World Rugby wanted to be something that, like, even when you go to watch it at home alone, you look over both shoulders to make sure nobody's there, and you're like, "Okay, I'll watch some rugby now."
I got some black market clips of a Chilean line out here. If you're interested,
like,
I open my coat. There's a little plasma screen there.
Portugal scored one of the best lineouts I've seen in years, but nobody will ever know. Because you're not allowed to see it.
You're not allowed to see it. Go to our official vendors. How about that? How about you be a fucking real human being? How about that?
Go to our official vendors who also won't show you.
Don't even describe it too richly to anybody either.
There was a try. There was people standing in a line. Ball went in. People went up. Ball came down.
It was fun. They enjoyed it.
Move along.
Apparently, we were playing a place called Scotland, something like that. I don't know. Scotland.
Apparently, we're meant to be really arrogant about this game as well. That's what I picked up from social media this week.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, and I kind of thinking, is there a game this weekend? That's kind of what led me to the Rugby World Cup website. So.
Meant to hate Scotland for reasons I don't understand, but.
I had a fella tell me, like, the other day, it's like, oh, they cost us the fucking Rugby World Cup, this Rugby World Cup, that should have been ours. I'm like, I struggle to give a fucking shit about this. This World Cup, it was supposed to be here. Like, the 2023 World Cup was supposed to be.
Oh, sorry, hosting it. I thought you were winning it. And I said, like, I was thinking, like, what exactly drums are they taking?
It's like, I was like, I struggle to care about fucking whether we got a tournament or not. What, 10 years ago?
You just know, though, if the World Cup was on in Ireland, the prices of stuff would be driven sky high.
Like, they would charge you for breathing.
The place would rip the piss.
Oh.
12 euros for a pint. And...
rent out the house here for 50 grand for the month. How about that?
I'm an hour away from the Aviva. Give me 10 grand. Like, it just would. You just know it would.
You can get the phone apart from around 30 minutes.
You have the entire Chilean team there in your house.
But I'm not allowed to look at them because World Rugby won't let me. Yeah. I just have to feed them.
Everything in your house has to be redacted.
Yeah, I have to feed them in the dark so I can't see the players.
What do you think about this game?
I'm excited.
I'm going to start with this. Two things. Number there's Ireland have lost once to Scotland in, what is it, the last 10 years? Johnny Sexton. I think it's 10 years, yeah.
The last I remember against Scotland was maybe around 2012-ish.
It's 2000. There was the loss in Six Nations in Murrayfield in 2017.
17, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
And then it was 2013 again in Murrayfield.
13. That was the one with O'Mahony on the wing, wasn't it?
And it was, yeah, that was grim.
Yeah.
That was a grim old game.
Right. So they've lost once to Scotland in 10 years. The other stat that I saw just up this evening. Johnny Sexton hasn't lost to a Scottish team for club and country for more than 12 years. And he's on a 24-match winning streak against Edinburgh, Glasgow and Scotland.
Jesus Christ.
Right? And there's talk about collusion and everything else. This comes down to, and the only analogy I can make to this is, it comes down to the same thing that Roy Keane said. They were facing Tottenham. It was a big game. And he was expecting a big speech from Alex Ferguson. And Ferguson just walked in and a couple of minutes before kickoff and went, "Fuck it, lads. It's Tottenham. Just go beat him."
Oh, well, I remember that. It's Tottenham.
It's Tottenham. It's Scotland.
I do agree that Scotland will beat Ireland at some point. Yeah. It's inevitable.
We're all old enough to remember the 90s.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, you're not. But Jeff is. But that's the worry about this game, I suppose, is that the longer the week has gone on, I can keep thinking of reasons as to why Scotland could potentially win this and the sort of the knock-on effects that will come in the aftermath of it. I do fully expect Ireland to win it. I think you just look at recent performances. I think if you go back earlier in the Six Nations, if Scotland couldn't win that game when we had Josh van der Fleer throwing into the lineup for most of the second half and they didn't have the wherewithal to just start giving us more lineouts in the Irish half of the field, that seemed like a game they kind of threw away. At the same time, I think Scotland are actually playing quite well. They have played quite well. In the last couple of months, they beat a decent French team in the warm-ups. I know they're warm-ups, but there's a bit of worry there in that I think if their game hits the way that it can and Ireland have an off day, Scotland will win. But it's whether or not Ireland have the off day. They haven't had many of those in the last number of years. Certainly against Scotland anyway.
The way I see it is kind of the same. I think Ireland do need an off day, but I think Scotland's physicality, attacking framework, their defense, just everything needs to be perfect as well. I think it's not enough just for Ireland to play poorly, because we look back to that Six Nations game there, just gone. I mean, how many things went wrong for Ireland in that game?
And Ireland didn't even, before things started to go wrong, Ireland weren't playing necessarily
well either. Yeah. And suddenly they still found a way. So I think, I mean, you can talk about the Tonga and Romania games if you want. To be honest, I don't, not to be rude, but I don't really see a point. But if you look at South Africa, well,
I don't really either. It's they were kind of enhanced warm-up games to a certain extent. But all due respect.
In fairness now to Scotland, was it 70 defenders they beat in that Romania game?
Or something? Was it?
They beat, I think Paul Williams had the stat. I'll actually try and find it now. We'll just put a little pin in 70 in case I got that grossly wrong. But when you look back at that South Africa game, their breakdown just wasn't up to scratch. They were slow on securing their own ball, etc. They kind of left a lot behind them. I think there's space in behind their defensive line that can be exploited well by a good kicking game. I just think that Scotland have to be completely on point to take Ireland on this one and have Ireland have a bad day. The other side of the coin is, I mean, you look at Ireland and their defence doesn't give up tries that easily, like not in any way, shape or form. In the last four seasons, there's only been two teams to score four or more tries against them. One was New Zealand in New Zealand. So I'm just kind of, I think Scotland need an awful lot more to win this game than Ireland do, essentially.
Ireland,
I would say that as a neutral as well, just to point out.
Yeah, I think first of all, I think Ireland would need to be below 60% and Scotland would have to be 90, 95% plus. But just what you were saying there about the Ireland defence, Ireland have 16 wins in a row now at this point where they're averaging points conceded of less than 14 points.
Jesus.
Scotland, right? So that's their last 16 games against all teams, what they're conceding. Against Scotland, the last two games, Scotland have only had one score in the last two Six Nations games. And against South Africa, again, top quality team, really good defense, they only had a penalty kick. That was their only score in this game. And we can talk about how good a backline that they have, but Scotland's weakness is up front.
That said, I think they have a good scrum. I mean, statistically, they have quite a good scrum in the Six Nations over the course of the last 12 months. But I suppose it comes down to, is it good enough to actually make it count? And in phase play, how do you match up with this Irish team? Because I think this Irish team in phase play, as we saw against South Africa 2 weeks ago, stack up with absolutely anybody in this game, bar none. And that's the level I think that Scotland have to get to. Can they upset that Irish phase play physicality? And I'm not sure. Like that's the big thing. I would be like, will Scotland win a few scrum penalties? I think I think they probably will, but it's what happens outside of that. I think that's where it starts to get a bit iffy, because Ireland have a fantastic defensive lineup, and Ireland's defensive phase play for winning turnovers, forcing turnovers, is I think up there with one of the best in the world at the moment. Like, as much as Ireland's attack has been really good, Ireland's defense has been outstanding. And I think that's the big thing here, is can Scotland upset the apple cart enough to score the tries they need to win this game? And I'm not sure if they can, even if Ireland play relatively poorly everywhere else.
Just on the defenders beaten, I was actually wrong with the 70. According to the Rugby World Cup website, in terms of defenders beaten for Scotland versus Romania, it was actually 72.
So that's like if every Romanian player on the field was beaten four times each.
Yeah.
More or less.
Is it like 72?
If we pull together.
Do you know John Aloma Rugby, when you used to run through everyone and then there'd be one lad still standing in the corner, so you just run over and hand it off and then go back and score?
There were the games I would turn them off because it would be too unrealistic. But this happened against Romania for pretty much everybody who's played them. I mean, and look, fair play. Look, they are what they are. But it's not the ideal preparation for this game, I would imagine.
No, I don't think so either.
No, look, I think Scotland's aim has to be to use the set piece as their launch play and try and attack Ireland from that. They're going to try use their line out, their scrum, and to get their back line moving. They have the likes of Darcy Graham, Van der Merwe, they have real options there and real quality.
I think as well, there's a big opportunity for them on the first phase of kick transition. That if Ireland kick long to them, which I think Ireland will to a certain, well, between mid-range and long, there's a real opportunity for them on the first phase of transition with Finn Russell, with that back three that they have, plus Finn Russell. I think that's as dangerous a combination that there is in this game. So that'll be a big challenge for Ireland. Gary Ringrose, I think, needs a massive game on transition defence. Because like, I think Ireland's transition defence is the best in the world. I think Scotland's transition attack is up there at one of the very best. That's going to be a key breakdown in this game, I think.
Yeah, look, I think so. The only thing I would worry about for as I said, for Scotland is in the pack. And I think you look at the one thing that still is etched in my mind from the Six Nations game in Murrayfield was not so much the players that Ireland lost. It was when Van der Fleer went in to throw the ball into the line out. They didn't have the smarts there to put a player up at the front and just make him make the throw. They made it so easy for Ireland with that.
Do you think because of that day, they're more likely to be clued into bits like that for this game?
I think if they were looking to dismantle the Irish lineout, they don't have to look much further than the first five or six against South Africa. Just look at how they
two pods into the air.
Two pods nearly every time. They disguise the front. I think Kitchoff was lucky that he didn't get pinged for coming into the lineup before the ball was thrown, etc., with Mal Herbe stepping out the back. But again, them's the breaks. Like, it is what it is. If my own team got away with it, I'd be delighted as well.
You hate South Africa.
I hate everything outside.
And referees.
Outside Munster. I hate referees.
Is that because Jack Nienaber is joining Leinster? Is that why you really hate
them? You hate Leinster.
I hate Leinster.
You hate Jack Nienaber.
It's just so biased. And what was the word?
Deluded.
Deluded. That's the one. I'm just so demented and deluded. I hate Scotland. I hate
lineouts.
I hate Aldi.
Yeah. Fucking Aldi.
God, where do I have so much hate in my heart. So much anger. Where was I?
It's too late to go on these tangents.
Too late at night. I want to go to bed. Where was I? Yeah, sorry. Just force Ireland to shorten the line out and have to force them to move to win ball, etc. But again, as we saw against Scotland, when you had Josh van der Fleer throwing the ball, he didn't even throw. Did he have five or six against Scotland? And I think only two went to the front. So in fairness, he did well there. But Ireland still figured it out. So I mean, despite how much pressure you put on that Irish lineout, it's still a very well-run lineout. To lose five in the first 20 minutes and then to win 12 of the following 13 is some going. So I think Scotland will have their work cut out there as well. Again, I would maybe look to double pod like South Africa did. It put an awful lot of pressure on Ireland. There was actually one steal in that South Africa game, just to go back to it. Ireland had lost the lineout. It was one of the first five. And I think
it was the second one on the 5
Ireland line. Went front.
And it was James Ryan came through and stole it
and
back.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable bit of play from James Ryan there. Even though he's from Leinster and I hate him. But
do you see ate a sentient grape on that ad for Aldi?
Excuse me?
He ate, there was a grape.
Wait, a Leinster
that they were using
was
the
an
ball,
ad for
but
Aldi?
But the grape had feelings, right? The grape was a person, he had thoughts. And then James Ryan throws him into his mouth. And then whenever that happens, I just turn the TV off. So, because I just can't bear to think of James Ryan murdering an animal like that. Or a grape, you know.
James Ryan cares for no man or fruit.
He just put him in there and he just like straight into his mouth. And they're all like all the little carrot friend.
And that's what he's going to do. And that's what he's going to do to Scotland this weekend.
You're a sentient grape with feelings. He's just going to throw you into his mouth and eat you. And I'm going to turn it off before I see what happens.
He's going to eat you up. He's going to chew you up.
Paul O'Connell looking at him like.
Yeah. Egging him on.
Do you know, I think in this game, though, I think Ireland will be far more comfortable just throwing to the front. In this, I think we went to an awful lot to the middle and to the tail against South Africa. We did. I think in this game, though, I think we'd be much more comfortable being quite conservative, going straight to the front.
Yeah. Do you think that they keep the play a little bit tighter for longer instead of maul feints and moving the ball around? They're going to take.
I think
on,
so.
Engage them.
I don't I see so. Them mauling a huge amount because they just don't.
Yeah, they make you think they're going to maul. Yeah. They bait you in like that. Make me think I'm going to be looking at a nice maul.
I think we'll see a couple more mauls, but I don't think they're suddenly just going to be like, oh, Ireland are a mall team, if you get me. I think you might see a couple more, but they're just a mall faint far too much to suddenly change that DNA, I think, on point. But I do think that they will be happy just to keep it tight. I think I had a thought about the ball and play time we've been seeing in kind of the bigger games. Do you reckon it's also just a case of conservation? Like, they're just looking not to get too out on their feet too soon in big games.
Honestly, I think teams don't necessarily want to get sucked into a 40-minute plus ball and play time week after week if they can possibly avoid it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah, they'll try to be as efficient as they can with it for the most part. Like, I think in a knockout game, Ireland might well try to take, we'll say, a France or a South Africa
To 30
up to 38, plus. 39 minutes plus, you know, but... You know, when you can avoid it, like, because I think Ireland got as much out of the low ball and play time as what South Africa did in that last game.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing? But you just see Ian Foster talking about how,
man, if there's one thing I'd love in my games, it's an extra 2 minutes of playing time.
But like, is it just like, again, it was just reminding me of John O'Loma rugby. Like, I like Italy. I like Italy as a team. They got absolutely hammered by the All Blacks. And that game was boring from around 10 minutes in. And it's like, yeah, look, there was lots of, I suppose, like passing and running of the ball, which, yeah, is good in theory. But you want to see that in games that are actually like interesting for longer than the fucking Haka. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I just thought that there about the ball and play, because I remember I saw some rubbish there from John Kerwin kind of saying, oh, yeah, we want to see... more running and offloading and all this other bullshit. It's just like, for the love of God, like, if you can't appreciate the intense sort of game that Ireland South Africa was, I don't know.
It's just mind games.
It's mind games. It's bullshit from the Kiwis again that comes out with the idea you have to play the game our way. This is the only way to do it. It's the rugby equivalent in Irish terms. Of a provincial fan saying, whoa, you have to support us because we're playing someone not from Ireland, and trying to enforce their idea back on you. And
that was me to Leinster fans that I knew when Munster were playing the Stormers in the final. I was like, why aren't you travelling to Cape Town?
Exactly.
Why aren't you going there to support us, the Irish?
Oh, we're not getting sued again. Stop it.
No, sorry. Yes, sir.
This is James Cronin's bus again. That's all I'm going to say.
But yeah, no, I think when it comes down to it, I think that like Ireland's ability to weather that sort of ball and play, more than capable of going to that level if needed. But like, I think even against South Africa, like Ireland didn't need to go there, and Ireland certainly didn't play to get a high ball and play time. Like, got the ball off the field when need be. I think kicking is the biggest instrument of, you know, describing your high ball and play. And I'm looking at, like, against South Africa, I think we kicked, what, 20 times to their 18? It was relatively low, anyway, for an Ireland game. But I think against Scotland, I think you'll see Ireland kicking quite a bit and saying to them, okay, look, we'll take you on in transition attack. Let's see what you got there. And I think it's going to be that area of the game is going to be very, very interesting. And I think if Scotland start getting a few gains there, all of a sudden things can start get a little bit out of hand for Ireland. But yeah, it's an interesting one, because like we're kind of into the end now of Johnny Sexton's career. I think, you know, these are the last couple of games. Like, I'm not sure if he spoke about, because again, I don't listen to this podcast when I'm not on it. I don't actually listen to podcasts at all. Like, I only listen to the ones I'm recording as I'm speaking on them. But like, when you look at Johnny Sexton, he looked really emotional during the anthems against South Africa. Like, we're into the last couple of games of his career now, I think. It's kind of mad when you think about it, how longly tenured he's been.
Yeah, what is it? Nearly 15 years?
There were thereabouts. He's been Ireland's main man for at least 11 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is, and he hasn't had really anyone to challenge him since.
Did you like my unbelievable input there? That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
That's why I'm here. It's why you get paid. It's why you get paid the big pastries, Jeff.
That's why I'm here. You're welcome, guys. If ever you're wondering how long a period of time is, just ask me. I'll let you know.
Yes, that's a long time.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
but you need context as well, you know.
So, like, are you concerned about this game?
No.
Without like,
without I'm giving Scotland zebra level respect.
Jesus Christ! Not even Romania got that.
All due respect to Vladimir Peter. I'm moderately concerned about the game. So I think that Scotland have a couple of things that could potentially trouble Ireland. Good first phase transition work and a good scrum. But whether that'll be enough, I'm not sure.
I think, like, without sounding arrogant, because I know...
I've taken care of that, you're okay.
Yeah, do you know what? Without sounding like Owen, I'm not worried about the game because I just think too much has to happen.
I just think
the perfect storm needs to happen for Scotland to win this. And to be honest with you, that could be blind optimism, or it could be unconscious bias, or it could just be watching Ireland for the last 2 years. I'm kind of in a place now where I'm like, listen, like, do you know what really bugs me is when people say, like, oh no, do you know the underdog tag suits us? But like, fuck that. Like,
yeah, fuck it. We were underdogs for long enough.
No, like, you're when you're on top, when you're playing, when you're the best team in the world, you act like the best team in the world. And when you're used to watching the best team in the world win, you just become to expect it. Like, I remember a story a friend of mine told back when, geez, it was the World Cup, maybe three World Cups ago. Was that the one in Australia?
One in New Zealand.
No, sorry, the one in New Zealand. Yeah. Was that 3 months ago? But it was the game where we beat Australia. Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was over there and he said he met an Australian, or he met a New Zealander over there. And he was buzzing after that game. And the New Zealander lad said to him, I'm really jealous of you. And he said, why? Like, you know, you tend to beat Australia quite often. And he goes, no, I'm not buzzing because you beat Australia. Or I'm not jealous because you beat Australia. I'm jealous because you're buzzing off a win. We just usually expect to win. We don't get excited. We don't like, and this is New Zealand of old, if you get me, right? Back when they were winning left, right, and center. But he just said, like, we just expect to win. We go into games and that's how we feel. We just expect to win. And I think a little bit of that has run off on me a little bit because of, not just because Ireland are winning, it's because of the way they've been winning. It's because of the way they've been playing. It's because of their defense, mostly. I just think too much has to happen for Scotland to win this game.
I think, like, Ireland just have a lot of weapons to go to, and I don't even think they would need to use all of them. I think that, like, Ireland have the game here to kind of almost just let the system process this game out, you know, like Ireland's kicking game, Ireland's transition defense, Ireland's lineout game, the set piece. Like, I can see Scotland winning this game. There's certain possibilities for sure. But I just think it's far more likely that Ireland will just process this game out and win relatively comfortably, because that's what they've tended to do against Scotland traditionally in the last, we'll say, even just looking at recent history. And like the times that Scotland have come close, like Scotland should have beaten Ireland a few times in the last couple of years, but didn't. I'm not sure if they're better now than what they were then. And I think Ireland are certainly better now than what they were in those games. So I think it's going to be, I'd be very surprised if it was anything other than an Irish win, maybe looking at 10, 15 points even.
Yeah, I think that as well.
The current spread is 10 points in favour of Ireland. I think Ireland are going to do, I think it's 15 to 20 in Ireland's favour, to be honest with you. As we said, the only other thing that I'd say about it is I thought something on Twitter, and I can't remember who it was now to give credit.
Erasmus.
No, but he has been active.
If it's good, it's how narrow, pretend it was me.
They showed the clips of how narrow Scotland defend and the space that's there for the crossfield kick.
There is space there, yeah. There is 100% space there to kick into.
In that, and I think with Sexton playing with the likes of Hansen, and that there, I think Ireland are going to exploit that.
Like Hansen is so good in the kick chase that I feel like I could kick a ball and he'd still get it. That's how good I think he is on the kick chase.
No, I look at that and I see with, I don't know, just I think Ireland has just too many weapons. Hansen being one of them. Yeah. Do you think that Owen could kick a ball?
Owen would probably kick it better than Sexton himself.
My kicking out of hand is actually very poor, but I have a brilliant drop goal. I will admit that. That's the only thing that I have in my arsenal. So if I'm doing a crossfield kick, it's as a drop goal.
My kicking out of hand is decent, but that's it. I can't place kick or I can't drop goal at all.
I can actually kick a spiral.
Should we
between
all,
the three of us, we could make the perfect team out up? Half.
should we all
would be gold.
the three of us will play, right? Yeah. But just before the call to exit comes in, we'll just say, what do you want? Do you want to spiral it? Or do you want to get rid? Okay, Tom, you're up. And that's how we'll do it.
Drop the spiral.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, a bit like Tom's song, maybe the call is a bit too wordy, but, you know, there's space to maneuver. There's, you know, we can work on it. Yeah, I think three for Ireland, I think.
Three for Ireland, the alternate name of this podcast.
Yeah. And I think it'll be a big, like, obviously we're recording this before team named, etc. I think it'll be big. I don't think, like, I mean, if Henshaw's out, it obviously opens up the door for McCluskey, O'Brien, Earls. I think Earls will probably take that, given the, there's a word there. I can't think of it, so I'm really glad I started that sentence.
Initiative.
The gravity, I think, of the game.
I hope they start Kelleher.
I don't know if they will.
I think they go with Sheehan. I think that'll be the way I see it. I think they go with their first choice team, which I think Sheehan goes at two. I think they pick first choice. As you say, I think then it comes down to
Coleman. How many minutes do you reckon Andrew Porter is going to do?
Andrew Porter is going to play about 9,000 minutes in this game, or in this tournament.
I think Porter's minutes depend on how well Ireland are winning.
Ireland are up by 15.
Even then, I think he's still on the bench.
He probably only does about 68 minutes.
If Ireland are 30 points up, he might come off at the 72nd minute.
I think the only changes I see is maybe Sheehan going in at hooker. I think they'll probably want to get some minutes into Conan before the knockouts.
Conan has to be involved.
Yeah, but I don't think he starts. I think he's off the bench.
Yeah, that's fair too, yeah.
And then I think Henshaw would have been the 23, but if he is injured, I think they probably look for that sort of utility player that can cover a couple of positions. I think that counts against McCluskey, the fact he hasn't got any minutes so far.
Yeah.
And it's either Jimmy O'Brien or Earls.
I think if McCluskey was starting, Aki would be that 23.
Yeah.
But I think if Aki was the other centre, if that makes sense, he'd be the 23. But I don't think McCluskey will be the 23. Absolutely not. I just don't
think he basically covers 12 and allows somebody else to cover outside centre or whatever. I can see it being Earls, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't see it being Jimmy O'Brien either, to be honest.
No.
Which means it's probably
Earls.
Yeah, I think. I think
he is the Farrell favourite.
Will they go with Crowley, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're still on course. For not seeing McCluskey or O'Brien unless an injury occurs somewhere.
Which you know what, it fucking sucks to be honest if they don't get to play.
It's so shit.
It's a bollocks, but like, fuck it is what it is.
If I went to a World Cup now and I, you know, was going into the last group game and still not selected and kind of knew the writings on the wall there, like, yeah, people say it, you know, like, oh, he's a, you know, they're a great team person and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, you're there to play and your own personal objective is to play. And once that's taken away from you, like, I'd say, don't get me wrong, you're happy for the team, etc. But I'd be so annoyed. Like, maybe that's me. Maybe
I'd be ratty around the camp, knocking guys' breakfasts out of off their table,
eating people's grapes. James Ryan, give me your grapes.
Give me your grapes. I know what you'll do to those grapes, James.
Give me your grapes.
God, you tell it was late at night.
Yes, going around the hotel, pushing people downstairs and stuff, trying to get back into the team.
No. Watch your step. Watch your step, Jack Conan.
What was that? I can kick a ball too, Johnny. What was the name of that figure skater with the...
Oh, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding.
I'm just walking around Tonya Harding people. Put me in, coach.
you're seeing Gary Ringrose walking past you with his stuff from the buffet, and you're just slapping it out of his hands. It's like, oh, sorry, Gary.
Just pushing people into storage closets and locking the door. Where's Jack? I don't know.
My cat is up in front of the media going, Gary. Jeff's a real team player.
can't believe Jack's late for another meeting, huh?
You know what? That's Jack, though.
That's Jack.
That's
all
Jack.
Over it.
That's Jack for you.
Pick me.
He wasn't even injured for the first three pool games.
Would you like some?
He was just locked in that closet.
Going up to my cat, would you like some of my grapes? I'm going to bed. Knock this off.
Go.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Knock it off. Okay. Well, we'll round it up there, folks. Thank you very much for listening to our ramblings and for supporting the podcast. Please do rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you listen to, as it really helps. And be sure to share the podcast on social media. Hope you have a good week. And the three of us will be back next week to chat again. And if Little Ireland still want to sponsor us, keep sending the pastries.